This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of Aisha radiallahu anha, Mother of the Believers. On the eastern side of the Prophet's mosque, there were a row of mud huts. And these were the living quarters of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his wives. One of those huts belonged to our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha. And the hut was about 10 foot long, with mud walls and a roof of date leaves and branches. It was a very simple little abode. In fact, you could even call it a room. The roof was so low that if you reached up, you could touch it. There was a door that went straight from her house to the masjid, and the door had some kind of curtain over it. It was a very simple home, but it was a home from which the light of guidance emanated and spread throughout the world. Dear brothers and sisters, when we hear about the life of Aisha radiallahu anha with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes we don't realize that actually, you know, when he passed away, she was only 18 years old, which means that the majority of her life she actually spent after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, those years with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were so intense and so beneficial and so beautiful that she narrated all the information that we could ever want to know about those years, right? Everything that she could tell us about the sunnah, about living with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that would be beneficial for us, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha used to tell us about. And so through that we learn, what is it to have a happy and positive marital life? How do problems get resolved in marriage? All of the things, the human things that we experience, you know, all the interactions, all the ups and downs of life, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also experienced some of those. We said last time that even though the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a statesman and was very busy with the affairs of the ummah, he taught his companions to have balance in their lives. We said that Aisha described him as he used to keep himself busy serving his family, and when it was time for the prayer, he would get up for prayer. So yes, he was there for his family. Yes, he was serving his family, but he always knew that the salah, his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was number one. And when it came for the time for prayer, he used to get up and leave for the prayer. There were many special moments that Aisha radiallahu anha had with the Messenger of Allah. And if it wasn't for the fact that she was his wife and we had access to this knowledge through her, we wouldn't know about these lovely moments. For example, Aisha reported, when I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a cheerful face, I said, O Messenger of Allah, make dua for me, supplicate for me. The Prophet said, O Allah, forgive Aisha for her past and future sins, in secret and in public. And Aisha was so happy when she heard this dua from the lips of Rasulullah that she said she laughed so much that her head fell from his lap. So she was lying there with her head in his lap and asking him to make dua. And when he made this dua, she was so happy, her head fell from his lap. The Prophet said to her, does my dua make you happy? Aisha said, why would your dua not make me happy? In other words, she realized that not only was it the Messenger of Allah who was making dua for her, but he made a dua that was so comprehensive that you know, if it came true, she would definitely be a woman of Jannah, right? All your past and future sins, sins that you do in public, sins that you do in private, if they were all forgiven, then, you know, what more could a person want? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "By Allah, this is my dua for my nation in every single prayer. This is my dua for my ummah in every prayer." Subhanallah. Such a touching moment and such a special thing for us as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to know, right? And we wouldn't have known about this if it wasn't for our mother Aisha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not shy to mention and to let it be known that he loved Aisha. Once Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu said that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which person is most beloved to you? And the Prophet said, Aisha. He said, I mean amongst the men. And the Prophet said, her father. I said, then who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Umar bin al-Khattab. And then he mentioned some other men. In this narration, we see that, subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not afraid to openly express that he loved his wife, even in front of men. And it shows you how much he loved her, that when he mentioned the man who he loved the most, he connected it back to her, right? He said, her father. Aisha radiallahu anha was jealously protective over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And, you know, we know that she was. Once she got up in the middle of the night and she couldn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there. So she felt around in the dark and she felt the Prophet's foot. So she realized that he was in prayer and she said, oh, what was I thinking? Another time she heard him leave in the night. So she became worried that he'd gone to visit one of his other wives. So she quietly snuck up behind him and followed him to the burial ground where he went. He went to the burial ground of Baqi'. And he went there to make dua for the dead. Then he started to go back home and she realized that she better go back home too. And he was going really fast, so she started to go very fast as well so that she would enter the house before him without him realizing. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, he found her at home, but she was out of breath. So he asked her, you know, why she was out of breath. And she tried to kind of not mention what happened. She tried to conceal the matter, but he insisted and he said to her, if she didn't tell him, then Allah would tell him. So Aisha radiallahu anha realized that she'll have to own up. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, was it you who was walking in front of me? She replied, yes. So the Prophet, again, he said to her, do you think that I would be unfair towards you? Do you think I would basically go and visit one of the other wives when it's your night? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then informed her that Jibreel had come and informed him that Allah wanted him to go to the Baqi graveyard and supplicate for the dead. And that's why he had gone out secretly. And he'd gone out secretly because he didn't want to wake her up and didn't want her to be scared that he was leaving her alone in the night. And look at our mother Aisha, even though this funny incident happened and, you know, she was like, obviously, very sheepish by the end of this because she realized that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone out for such a beautiful and beneficial reason. At the end of this, Aisha radiallahu anha's student quality still remained, you know, and she couldn't help it but ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what dua that she should make when she goes to the graveyard. And this is when the Prophet ﷺ taught her the dua as-salamu ala ahli diyari min al-mu'minina wal-muslimin. And, you know, how to, what dua to make when you go to the graveyard. So it shows you that even though, you know, she was, she had these kind of funny moments where her personality would really come out, she was still a student at heart. She wanted to know how to please Allah. That was her primary concern. And she realized that she was with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who could tell her everything that she could ever want to know. And that's why we see that she would ask him to make dua for her. That's why we see that she would be so inquisitive and ask him anything that she could that was beneficial. There was sometimes jealousy between the wives. We already mentioned that. One example was once when the Prophet ﷺ was in the house of one of his wives. Anas bin Malik says, one of the mothers of the believers sent a meal in a dish. The wife at whose house the Prophet was, and we know that it was Aisha, basically, whose house the Prophet was in, she struck the hand of the servant, causing the dish to fall and break. Okay, so in other words, the Prophet is in Aisha's house and one of the other wives sends a dish of food. And Aisha radhiyallahu anha felt some jealousy because of this. And she struck the hand of the servant, causing the dish to fall and break. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered the broken pieces of the dish, and then he started to collect the items of food which had been in the dish. And then he just simply said, your mother has become jealous, right? So he kind of covered up, you know, her kind of misdemeanor, if you like. And he didn't make a big deal out of it. Then he told the servant to wait. And he went and asked Aisha radhiyallahu anha to bring a dish to replace the one that she had broken. And so then she gave the dish, and then, you know, that dish was returned to the other wife. So we see that here, the Messenger of Allah, instead of criticizing her, instead of, you know, making a big scene, he overlooked those human feelings of jealousy that were natural for the co-wives to feel for one another. He was forbearing, and he understood that sometimes feelings and emotions can get the better of a person. And instead of rebuking and criticizing, he focused on showing people, including his wives, how to make amends, how to fix things. Inshallah, after the break, we're going to continue with this topic. So until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Welcome back. We were talking about the relationship of Aisha radhiyallahu anha with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also with her co-wives. Aisha radhiyallahu anha said, I never felt so jealous about any woman as I did for Khadija. Now, you know, Khadija radhiyallahu anha, Aisha had not even met Khadija. You know, she had just been a child when Khadija radhiyallahu anha had passed away. She had died 3 years before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Aisha. And Aisha said, I heard him mention her so often, and his Lord ordered him to give her glad tidings of a palace in paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would slaughter a sheep and distribute its meat among her friends. So in other words, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had such a special relationship with Khadija. Even after her death, he would send gifts and he would remember her friends. And Aisha had heard so much about this great woman. And so she felt a sense of jealousy towards her. And once she made a comment, you know, that Allah has given you a wife that's better than her. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, no. And he made it very clear that Khadija's status was unmatchable, right? Because she had supported him when everyone else had abandoned him. She had given him wealth when everyone had withheld their wealth from him. And she had, and Allah had blessed him with children through her as well. So although Aisha radiallahu anha felt this sense of jealousy, it didn't stop her from being honest and just when it came to Khadija and the other wives. So we find that many of the narrations that talk about Khadija, that give us information and, that tell us about our mother Khadija, are actually narrated by Aisha. We also find that later on, whenever the situation came where one of the wives of the Prophet had to say something about another wife, she would always say something good. Aisha radiallahu anha praised the other wives in various stages, in various situations. So we see that that sense of jealousy, it was a natural sense of jealousy that sometimes bubbles up, but it didn't stop her from being honest and it didn't stop her from being just when it mattered. Aisha radiallahu anha had no doubt about who the head of the house was. You know, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her husband was the head of the house. Although he served his family and was very helpful towards his family, she also, of course, served him. She obeyed him. She supported him in his work. She prepared his miswak for him, for example, or his water for ablution. She would knead dough for bread, and she would wash his clothes and comb his hair. To Aisha, the Prophet ﷺ was a role model. She famously described saying his character was the Quran. That's how she described Rasulullah ﷺ. So in examining their relationship, we learn a lot about human interaction, emotional sensitivity between spouses and within families. So by now, I think we've all realized that the Prophet ﷺ had a very special relationship with Aisha radiallahu anha. Now, one group of people who knew that Aisha had a very special place in the Prophet's heart were the hypocrites of Medina. Now, the hypocrites, the munafiqun, they were those people who had not sincerely embraced Islam. They were pretending to be Muslims, hoping that, they could cause the Prophet's downfall one day and eventually regain their status in Medina. And the head of the Munafiqun was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. He was always looking for an opportunity to harm the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his mission. And one of the things a person's enemies will do to get to a person is to attack them through the thing that they love the most and through the relationships that they love the most. And that's what Abdullah bin Ubay tried to do. One day, Abdullah bin Ubay got his chance to not only try to undermine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and hurt him with regards to his most beloved, but to try to attack his honor, to ruin his marriage, and cause the disintegration of the Muslim community. In the month of Sha'ban, in the fifth year of Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ led an expedition against Banu al-Mustaliq. During this journey, a large number of munafiqun, hypocrites, joined the expedition, and they tried to caused trouble between the Ansar and the Muhajirun. The Ansar were the Muslims of Medina, the natives of Medina. And the Muhajirun were those who had emigrated, right, from Makkah to Medina. Abdullah bin Ubay was publicly exposed by the Ansar during this incident, and he felt humiliated and miserable. And because of this, he was looking for a way to hit back at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha very eloquently tells us about this story in vivid detail. And this is, of course, the story of the slander of Aisha radiallahu anha. And our mother Aisha, in very vivid detail, talks about it and explains what happened herself. She narrates that when Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, intended to go on a journey, he used to draw lots amongst his wives. And so then through drawing lots, he would decide which of his wives would come with him. He drew lots amongst us during one of the ghazawat, in which he was going to fight. And the lot fell on me, says Aisha. And so I proceeded with Allah's Messenger after Allah's ordering of the hijab had been revealed. So Aisha radiallahu anha is setting the scene and the context, right? She's saying that basically, and this was in the fifth year of hijrah, we said, you know, battle of Bani al-Mustaliq. Aisha radiallahu anha was traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this was after hijab had been revealed. So she says, I was carried on the back of a camel in my hawdaj. And we said that the hawdaj was like a little tent or a kind of a box that people could lift up. And inside there was usually a seat of some sort on which Aisha radiallahu anha or one of the wives could sit. And this was a way of giving the wives extra privacy and, you know, to be able to travel in a dignified manner. So she says she was carried in her hawdaj. And so she says, we went on until Allah's Messenger had finished from that ghazwa, from that battle of his, and returned. When we approached the city of Medina, he announced at night that it was time for departure. So when they announced the news of the departure, I got up and went away from the army camps. Okay, so what was happening is obviously a journey at that time was long, right? It took a long time. You didn't just travel in a few hours, not even a few days. It could take weeks and months. So the entire caravan would stop at intervals, right? They would take all their things down, the hawdaj would come off, people would relax, they would maybe sleep, they would do whatever they needed to do. And then at intervals, then they would carry on, right? They would pack everything back up and then carry on. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had announced that they were going to go. So Aisha realized that she needed to go and answer the call of nature. And so she went away from the camp and she went to answer the call of nature. And she said she came back to her riding camel. And when she came back, she said, I touched my chest to find that my necklace, so her own onyx necklace, was missing. So she returned to look for her necklace. And she was looking and looking, and because of that, she got delayed. And she was outside of her hawdaj, of course, right? So what happened was, she says, in the meantime, the people who used to carry me on my camel, so those who used to carry her hawdaj and lift it up onto the camel, they came and they took my hawdaj and put it on the back of the camel on which I used to ride. They thought that she was in there. And she says, very eloquently in this hadith, that she says, in those days, women were light in weight, for they did not get fat, and flesh did not cover their bodies in abundance, as they used to eat only a little food. So she says, in other words, she was really light in those days. And because of that, the people who were carrying the hawdaj, they didn't realize that she wasn't in there. They assumed that she was in there because everyone was ready to leave. So she must also be in there ready to leave. She says, those people therefore disregarded the lightness of the hawdaj while lifting it up and carrying it. And at that time, she says, I was still a young girl. So she was only about 14 years old at the time. She says, they made the camel get up and all of them left. SubhanAllah. So there is our mother Aisha, a young teenage girl. She is in the desert and the entire caravan has left. So she said she found her necklace after the army had gone. And then when she came to the camping place, she realized everyone had gone. And so what she decided to do was just to sit there and wait. Okay, because she knew that it was the habit of traveling caravans that they would always send somebody, one like a scout, to come back and look and make sure nobody had been left behind or nothing important had been left behind. So she realized they're probably going to send somebody. So she sat in the middle of the desert waiting, and she fell asleep. Inshallah, in the next episode, we're going to continue with the story that led to the slander of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and see what happened when she was left in the middle of the desert and the caravan and the Messenger of Allah had left and already gone to Medina. So until then, Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.